You're listening to a real piece of work. I probably shouldn't say it that way. You're listening to A Real Piece of Work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals, brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Now here's your hosts.
All right, Matt, you got some thoughts in your head?
Yeah, Matt, great to be back with you here on the podcast. Really looking forward to talking to our next guest here. I've known in the community for a little while, just a great background, and looking forward to hearing a little bit about what's happening in the future as well.
Well, I agree, and I'm reflecting on junior high when I was at Bettendorf Middle School, where I had volunteers come into the classroom and introduce me to JA curriculum, and it inspired something in me. It has fast forwarded into my professional life, where I was fortunate enough to be with a company that actually produced the third JA Biz Town in the entire country back in the 90s. And fast forward to where we're sitting today. Proud to say that my employer was involved with helping create a brand new state of the art facility that's going to help our future workforce discover what inspires them and makes them good quality citizens, and hopefully, you know, get inspired by maybe a career path that gets them in a better track and happiness in life. So that's what it's all about. And today, of course, we're here to have an interview with an individual and find out what inspires them, what's the path been, so that our listeners might just pause and say, that sounds highly intriguing, or maybe not. Either way, I think both are a success. So welcome to the program, Lisa Hegland, President and CEO of Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Welcome, Lisa.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Absolutely great. This is super excited to kick off the year with an interview with our relatively new President and CEO of Junior Achievement of the Heartland. By the way, thanks to our friends over at WVIK for helping bring this to fruition for our listeners. Lisa, let's kick it off, if you don't mind. What the heck does it mean to be President and CEO of Junior Achievement of the Heartland?
Well, it's a privilege and an obstacle at times, obviously. You know, being CEO means that everything that is troublesome or problematic becomes yours. At the same time, it's very rewarding because you get to see the successes of your team and what's happening into the community. And you get to know a little bit behind the scenes that you put your mark into the community. So lots of opportunity and lots of, I would say there's a lot of happiness behind it. So there's a lot of fulfillment in the role and the responsibilities.
Lisa, if would you humor us, and more importantly, our listeners, somebody may not know who Junior Achievement is. Every once in a while, I actually have somebody and say, no clue. High level, what is Junior Achievement? What's the mission? What do you do?
Yeah, so we are a community nonprofit, and our role is really to go into our community, embrace the students within the community, and engage them and give them that opportunity to touch the future, touch education, learn about financial literacy, learn about entrepreneurship, reflect upon it, and then actually apply it with real world information. So that's the one thing that kind of makes us stand apart. It is real life experience and learning opportunities. That's what makes us a little different. There are others in kind of our marketplace that do something similar, but none of them that really do it to this level and this quality. And I think that's what drew me to JA was the quality of our instruction and the programming that we provide. There's nothing like it out in the world right now.
Love that. So you're give or take 5-6 months into this role. What's a typical day week looking like for you these days?
Oh gosh, you know, I'm just recovering from a 1-week retreat in Atlanta, actually. So it's been a whirlwind, to be honest with you. Kind of learning the inside lingo, you know, just the fact that we're in the JA Inspiration Center. Took me a little bit to get that under wraps. And we call it the Jake. So when people were saying the Jake, I was like, who's Jake? I haven't met this Jake employee. So, you know, there's been a lot of that learning the staff, learning their strengths, learning about what they're looking for too, building upon that and, you know, kind of setting that tone. We do have this year coming up our 70th anniversary. So kind of setting that operational plan for what would that look like? What are our expectations? And what are some of our goals? So, you know, it's very busy. I definitely, again, would say it's rewarding, but there's a lot of moving parts. So there's a lot of making sure, you know, I spent last night before I came here last night, you know, preparing for today, but then also preparing for team meetings I have this week and making sure that, you know, everyone's, you know, chugging along and reaching their goals too. So a lot of moving parts for that.
Lisa, what should parents and students know about JA? I think maybe it's a little bit different for each of those, but you know, as the father of a former mayor of Biztown, I have some experience here. I'm bragging a little bit, but what should parents know, and what should our listeners that are our students, what should they know?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Matt. Here's a couple things. One, I am very much focused on how to engage the parents deeper into some of these experiences. So first thing I want to say is, if you have a child who is in a school and you are not getting JA, I encourage you to reach out to your school and say, hey, how can we get this? It is not a cost to the schools to participate in the classroom activities. And then Biztown and Finance Park, there is a small fee for them to attend, but it is not anything that the schools could not budget for, but it's an experience that they definitely need. So as a parent, be proactive and just ask the whys and encourage, you know, obviously we all want to have the mayors of Biztown in our families, because it's such a cool thing to say. But then, you know, the other piece of this is I really believe, for instance, we have Finance Park here where we teach the kids how to budget. And when they're here budgeting, one of the things I always think about is, how do they take that back into their homes? Because I don't always think, you know, we think of ourselves and we don't think of others. There are students right now who may be the only ones in their family that understand what a credit report is, or how to get a credit report after they take our class, or how to apply for a loan, or those type of things. They may not have that in their home, but if they can bring that back, it's kind of that philosophy. You can teach, you can give a person a fish or teach them to fish. Can they bring that back into their home and teach their family too? So I think that's a golden piece of what we have here and how we get that back into the homes as well. So I think it's very circular and reciprocal.
So great answers there. I think that'll really, really help the audience. What about an educator, right? Like, I'm not an educator, but I know it's a tough job and new things are thrown at you all the time and responsibilities. Like, what would you tell an educator about what they need to know about JA?
Yeah. And again, it's we have such great curriculum. So we have everything K through 12 available in the classroom. And it's all available online on our website. So you can go preview it and see it. So you can experience it yourself and see what we're looking to bring into the classroom. And it's they do such a good job at JA. So now here's the thing people have to understand. JA is not only in the Quad Cities. JA USA is in 102 JAs across the United States. And we are actually international as well. And we have 100 years of experience. So this organization is very well set to understand what is needed in the current classrooms. And they're always evolving curriculum. You know, they're integrating AI right now into the classroom programming. They're ahead of the innovation all the time. So that is one great thing about that. And I would tell the teachers, go look at it, see it, experience it. But then look at how it can mesh into your curriculum for value add. You know, if you're doing a JAR community, for instance, and you've been talking about voting in your class, bring JA. We're a great match for that. You know, if you want to integrate and talk about different job careers, again, bring us in. We can talk about those things and we can share not only definitions of things, which is the educational component, but we can share the actual real world what's happening out there. And it's typically volunteers like you or I who are working in the workforce who can throw in little nuggets. I know when I was in the classroom, I went to a second grade class here. And while I was in there, we happened to be talking about in our community, and we had just voted and elected a new mayor in one of our towns. And we had a conversation about that. And it was real world integration, which was really nice.
So we've touched here a little bit on just the services that JA provides and the value. Circling back a little bit, President and CEO, what's your educational background, your experience that has provided you skill sets that have, you know, that have helped tee you up for success here at JA?
Yeah, so educationally, I actually have my, and I'm proud of this. So I'm going to tell you my whole background instead of just the high level, right? First of all, I have an associate's degree in business from Scott Community College right here locally, which is fantastic. Then I went to St. Ambrose, I got my bachelor's in business administration. And then when I went on to get a master's of organizational leadership. So my background's well suited, obviously, for the CEO role. And then I think within my career itself, that was probably the education was I worked in the mall industry here in the community back when the malls were amazing. I had such a wonderful run with that for 13 years, doing some amazing marketing and promotion in the community. Then I went on to work for the city of Moline, working in our downtown areas. Then I went to the community college and I was actually an assistant to the president and a foundation director. So I oversaw a foundation doing fundraising. So I think all those jobs gave me more experiences and growth. That really was the education I needed for the CEO because it's really made me a well-rounded individual. So I've been able to apply that education into real-world scenario and make it into an opportunity for me.
Appreciate the 100% appreciate that background. I mean, many times we've got listeners that go pursue an education and maybe don't have a set plan on what the future is going to look like, thus having a podcast to help people understand what options are out there. We're talking to you. You're in the not-for-profit space. One of the things we do like to ask folks generically about their industry is, can you help the students understand what's the income potential for working in the not-for-profit world?
Yeah, I would definitely say the nonprofit world is lucrative in the sense that if you're looking for a passion job, this is the place to be. It is not a place that you're going to make a high income, depending on your market. Okay, so nonprofits in general, smaller markets are not going to be making as much as a large market, or once you move your way up into a nonprofit at a large institution level. Okay. And I guess that would be my thing too. If you are someone that is very passionate about a mission, that's where nonprofits really pay off for you. It's that intrinsic value of those other things that you walk away with. For me, I love being in my community and I love seeing my community thrive. So for me, this is a passion for me. I love to go see the kids. I recently was at a parade, the Festival of Trees here in the Quad Cities, on a parade float. And it was so inspiring for me. As I'm riding on this float, the kids are yelling BizTown and JA. And I even had one student, I told you I was in that second grade class. She was yelling my name, Miss Lisa, Miss Lisa. So I'm looking for this young lady in the crowd. So, you know, those are the things that for me are more valuable. But, you know, again, I'm not saying that it's an unpaid position or anything like that. When you hear nonprofit people go, there's no money. There is money in this, but it's not something that you would look for as the sole top priority.
100% appreciate that. And I that screams to me, it's mission driven, and it probably is a good heart tug in some capacity that offsets maybe a nice income that supports you, but maybe it's not the primary reason you're sitting there.
Absolutely. And I don't want to mislead anyone that it's an underpaid or anything like that. We are, you know, we're well compensated. And again, it's market driven. So
100%. I'm going to throw one at you. What's the thing you love the most about what you do day to day? And if there was one thing that maybe you could take off your plate, what would you, take off your plate?
Oh gosh. Okay. I would say for me, one of the things that I started here about a month in was a project I like to call Start Your Day with JA. And I used to call it Start Your Day with JA and Me, and that just seemed a little too egotistical. So I went to just Start Your Day with JA. I invite others to join me here at BizTown and Finance Park for the launch experience at the beginning so that we're able to introduce CEOs and other people from the community. You know, it doesn't have to be a CEO, nonprofit leaders, marketing directors, other alumni, past alumni. It's an opportunity for them to see this in action. To me, that is the sweet spot of what really resonates about this facility here is that moment. You see these kids, they're bright-eyed, they're excited. It's just a cool experience. Not even the students, as well as the volunteers. I love seeing the volunteers. Volunteers are so excited to be here too and to be making a difference. So that to me is like the golden goose. The one thing I would take away, the takeaway that would probably have to be any of those HR issues, you know, having to worry with the personnel or, you know, conflicts, those little things. You know, if we all could just get along and be great, it'd be fantastic in the world. But, you know, we are people. So those people elements can be troublesome. I take those all away.
So that universal HR topic that crosses every sector. Yes, 100% understood.
Yeah.
At least president, CEO, but you've got an organization here. Like for our listeners, what other job titles reside within Junior Achievement? Maybe I'm not suited to be the president, CEO, but I'm guessing you got a lot of different job titles behind the scenes that some people don't know about. Could you expand a little on that?
Yeah, we actually have a very vast team here. We have the high level. We have a CFO who does our finances, and then he also serves as a COO. To be honest with you, because we don't have that position. So, and that's the one thing you'll find in nonprofits is we kind of do crossover, and there's a lot of shared competencies. So we help each other. It is a collaborative field for sure. We have a VP of Education, oversees our programming in our K-12, as well as the Inspiration Center here. We also have a VP of Development, and that seems like it's like the old school in me. If I heard the word development, I would have thought film or something like that. That's not what it is. It's fundraising. So they're out there raising the much needed dollars. You know, we can't do what we do without the fundraised support. And then we also have a marketing head of our marketing department, and we have a social media person. We have the director who oversees our facilities here at the Innovation Center, Inspiration Center. Please edit that, Matt. we have a director. That's a nuance that I've had to overcome because I don't know if you guys know this, at North Scott, they have an innovation center. And so my old world creeps in every now and then. So we have a director at our innovation center. We have a director at the Inspiration Center who oversees the facilities. And then she has a team under her that actually runs the BizTown and Finance Parks piece. We also have a special events director who oversees our student-led events in the community. We do, not only are we in the classroom, we're here at the Inspiration Center, but we are also in the community offering a lot of student events and engagement opportunities for them to experience, you know, things like the stock market, how to run a business, entrepreneurship, and all those facets to really get them inspired.
So, Lisa, you mentioned the community, and I walked into this space, and I see a lot of different business names and individuals and logos, and it's very stimulating for a marketing person to see all this stuff in one place. What kind of support have you gotten from the community, and what does that mean? How does that all work?
Yeah, you know, there's support from our community at all levels, Matt. Obviously, you know, the name recognitions and spaces in here, we call them suites. You know, we get sponsors who provide the suites to us that the students participate in when they're here in the building. But then, I don't want to be remiss. We, you know, also get support through a corporate donations. So we have these special events I was mentioning, and those special events are sponsored. That's critical for us to put those things on. But then also a lot of our companies volunteer their time. They will volunteer in the classroom. They'll volunteer at the center. They'll volunteer at the events. We can't make the things happen without those pieces as well. So, you know, there's that dollar value, but then there's the volunteer value as well.
Oh, that's a great point, Lisa. I think what I'm hearing is they're obviously the financial side of things. You've got to keep the lights on. You have to keep the programs going and all that sort of thing. But if you got a couple extra hours and you want to be a volunteer and help out, how do you do that?
Yeah, so you just go to our website, and on our website, you share with us your interests. You know, there's opportunities not only in the classroom, so you kind of say, hey, I'm kind of interested in volunteering in, you know, let's say kindergarten through fourth grade or something like that. You kind of share that information with us. Well, we actually have on the site currently what we're seeking volunteer support for, so you can actually see, like, for instance, you know, you live in a community, you'd say, hey, Jefferson School, that's right up the street from me. Hey, they're looking for a volunteer. You can sign up for that specific one. You could also work with our volunteer team, and they can identify, you know, your interest, and as it comes up later, help you find that perfect match.
Okay.
And then the other piece is Finance Park right here. You know, that Finance Park is for 7th and 8th graders, and I tell people this all the time. BizTown for us, which is 5th and 6th graders, 5th and 6th graders still want their parents to come volunteer. 7th and 8th, they don't want to see their parents in here. So it's a little bit harder for us to fill those volunteer slots. So, you know, here at the facility, they're always looking for volunteers for those spaces. And you can sign up for that and let us know and get on a list. And we will let you know when we need volunteers. And then obviously come in and experience Finance Park and, you know, see those 7th and 8th graders. Minds just get so excited when they learn about budgeting. So, and that seems like an oxymoron, but they do. For us, I think we were talking earlier, I wish I had the class right now, the finance class, just to learn a little bit more. But it's amazing to see their faces because they do learn so much when they're here.
Well, I think I was maybe joking before we got started and said there are a lot of adults that probably could take the budgeting class. And I do mean that. Sometimes we get hyper focused about, hey, the Quad Cities, you know, the office here is in Moline and the Iowa side and things like that. But it's Junior Achievement of the Heartland. So if I want to volunteer, what does that radius look like that you've got responsibility or could install some JA programming into?
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing I always tell people is that, you know, we as the Heartland, we serve a 24 counties between Iowa and Illinois. So we go all the way up to Alamaki and Dubuque area. We go over to Muscatine on the south. We go down to Lee County. You know, we serve a large population area. And so when you go to our website, it's everything. You'll see it all. So it is massive. And there are lots of opportunities in even the rural communities that we're seeking.
Lisa, can we circle back a little bit? You started 5-6 months ago, and you mentioned like how it's been neat to sit on a parade float, but are there any other personal stories and connection points maybe personally that, you know, open your eyes to the value and the impact that Junior Achievement has on individuals, specifically kids?
Yeah, you know, it didn't take very long for that to happen, by the way. So within my first couple of weeks, the powerful story, I love to share the story. So thanks for giving me the spotlight to share this. I had met with Jersey Mike's owner, Aaron. I met with Jersey. Please edit this. Can you edit this? Okay, thank you. Okay, so I met with Jersey Mike's owner, and he shared with me a story that really resonates. the day I met with him, he had said he was kind of getting ready for me to come, and he stopped in his store here in Davenport and kind of was just checking in on everybody, make sure things were all good for me to come visit. And when he walked in, there was a young man working at the grill. He did not have a hairnet on, and he noticed that, and he was like, hey. So anyhow, he walked up to the young man just to, you know, point out the hairnet. But when he went up to him, he learned that this young man was new. And the kid said, do you remember me? And he's like, no, should I remember you? And he's like, yeah, 5 years ago, I was the manager of Jersey Mike's at BizTown. And after I did that for the day, my dad took me to Jersey Mike's to eat it. And I met you that day. And my dad and I told you the story about my experience. And you said, in 5 years, you should come back and get a job. And he said, and today's my first day on the job. So that's really cool. The full circle, you know, and Matt, I think you have a future mayor there. So when they're mayor, hopefully we'll hear that story come full circle too.
I love that. I love that because it makes that personal connection, and it's the fast forwards. A student had a junior achievement experience, and it actually translated into maybe an initial career path. And who knows, maybe that individual, that kid ends up being a franchisee, owner of a retail facility, a quick service restaurant at some time. So that's awesome. We're sitting here in the Inspiration Center. Can you tell us a little bit about how this facility came to be, and are there any future plans for leveraging the space even more?
Yeah, I would say thank you, Matt McCombs, who's the president of Vibrant, for bringing the opportunity to JA to be in the space. It's a great partnership with them. They do provide the space to us, it's a good partnership. Is there opportunities for a future? Absolutely. I'm always thinking of those things. Actually, I just mentioned I came back from a conference. I'm going this Thursday to a facility where they're doing a new, what I would call a module, an add-on to what we do here, which is called Dream Accelerator. So it is for the high schools with career direction. So again, looking for what could that do for us. The other space that I'm looking at right now is, you know, career technical education. That's such a big piece in our community with the trades. What could we or what can we do to enhance that awareness? We have a wonderful wall here that everyone talks about where we have videos that show the different trades. You know, is there a hands-on opportunity? So I think there's a lot that we still can do with this space. It's just a matter of what direction is the right direction for us that doesn't impact what others in the community are doing either. We don't want to be a duplicate of what others are doing. We want to be that higher level experiential opportunity. So kind of playing things right now and seeing what sticks.
100% makes sense. So you mentioned before 70th anniversary this year. Are there anything that you want to point out, highlight that's going to be coming up this year that people ought to be paying attention to? Coming to your website, following Jay of the Heartland and social media to make sure they're in the loop on significant things that are annual or unique to this year?
Yeah, I would say the one thing that I'm really excited about doing is, you know, of course, we're using that 70 as our hook that we're putting on everything. You know, we are looking to raise $70,000 in individual gifts. You know, we do have great corporate support and great community support from businesses. We also want individuals. So we're looking to grow that. So that'll be kind of an intentional thing with that development team that we talked about. We're also looking to bring on 70 new volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers. So using that 70 as that golden number. But I think the one thing that I'm most excited about, as we just talked about the Jersey Mike story, we're trying to capture 70 stories. We're looking for that story of that person who may have gone here and gone on to be an entrepreneur because of an experience here. Or looking at donors, why are they contributing? What is the value for them? Although those advocates who have been around, you know, for 70 years, sharing the JA story. What are they sharing? What's their stories? What have been their experiences? You know, I am not old enough to know this, but back in the 1950s and 60s, JA started as an after-school program. That's really what we were. And there are stories of people who went and they made a product. So what they would do is come in, they'd build a product, make a product, sell a product, and that's what they learned. Well, I walked in just yesterday coming back from Atlanta and I see this lamp on the front counter. I'm like, what is this? It was somebody. And if you're hearing this story, please come and tell me your name. They dropped it off to us. We did not get the name of the person, but they dropped off their lamp that they had made. They were selling these lamps and it's very cool. It has a meter just like you have for like Mid-America meter on the front of this thing. And it measures the wattage of when you plug it in of how much it runs. So cool. What a cool thing. But they made those back in the day and sold them. And so, you know, I want to hear those stories. What did you do? What was your takeaway? And what's your why? You know, why did you do what you did with JA? Or why are you doing what you're doing to support JA? So I'm excited. That part just really gets me excited about the use of that 70 this year.
I love that. I appreciate it. I teed you up there for a little 70 recognition, but is there, before we kind of wrap things up here, anything else you want to make sure our listeners, our students, our educators, our parents, our supporters of JA, anything else you just want to make sure you get out there before we do our typical wrap-up question?
You know, I think the piece for me to share with everybody is, you know, JA in totality is hard to explain because we touch so many different places. And I think that scares people away. I have to say myself, I you know, volunteered back in my 20s and then I didn't volunteer again. I just, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think that scares people away from it. They're like, oh, well, you know, it's too complex or I don't know where I fit in. I think the first step is just say you want to know more and then reach out to us. And I think we can find the best place for you and connect you. Don't be afraid to make that first step in. And I think you'll be very happy with the reward of what you learn and the outcomes of your participation with JA.
Well, really appreciate that. Matt, anything that's circling around your head you want to get out before we go there?
Well, I was going to ask if we could ride on the float next year in the parade, but no, let's go ahead, Matt. Tee up that question.
Awesome. Well, Lisa, you obviously are a real piece of work, but we want to make sure we get this question out there, which is anything you would tell a 16-year-old Lisa to keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to helping increase your chances of success and happiness in your career path?
You know, that's such a great question. And it's mind-boggling to think back to 16. That was a little while ago. But, you know, I think the takeaway from life, you know, you hear people say, you know, is it the destination or the journey? You hear those little nuances about that. And I think, and in your employment, it's the journey that kind of gives you the direction that you need, and you've got to let that journey guide you. You know, I still, it's kind of cute. When I got this job, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I'm not sure I still do, but I will say I am in the right place at the right time now in my life. And if I look back at my journey, and I see it is not a straight path. There are many curves in that road. But those curves are really what made me the best person I could be for this role. And I think people need to embrace those curves and not expect it to be a direct path. And I would tell myself that is try to stop straightening the path and just enjoy the curves and have fun with that. Because in the end, the destination is going to be amazing. And, you know, just calm down and enjoy.
Lisa, I said it once, I'll say it again. You're a real piece of work. We really, really enjoy and appreciate the time with you here today. Thank you for your inspiration, your leadership, and what you do for Junior Achievement of the Heartland day to day and for the listeners that are going to be embracing this episode. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Valrebro, great to be back doing the podcast with you. I'm super excited to be in the Inspiration Center here and get a chance to see that and then spend some time with Lisa. What are your thoughts about today and what we learned?
I've got a 18-year-old son named Dominic, and this kid is very, very focused, has the objective of, he's a freshman in college now, has this goal of being done in 3 years, looking at accounting and finance as a major. And with age and wisdom and experience, sometimes you just know that where I'm reflecting on Lisa's comment is that you got to embrace the curves. Dominic has this impression that life's going to be linear. And maybe he'll be lucky enough that he can put it on paper and every step he's going to be able to check a box and it's going to keep on going down the path. But odds are he's going to get thrown a curve. And how you react to that curve is most important. And I love hearing that from Lisa. I hope our listeners embrace the fact that curves can be pretty darn good. Try not to get too riled up about them. And sometimes they're an absolutely fascinating ride. So embrace it and enjoy it. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, just fascinating to learn more about Lisa's journey and where she's going and junior achievement. I think a couple things that stood out to me. One is time is valuable. So if you've got some and you could spare it for JA and it's something that you're passionate about, please just get in and try to volunteer. If you have the means to be able to do some sponsorship, please do it. And I think the third thing, and this reflects on the story about Jersey Mike's and the 5 years ago story about meeting the owner. When we support JA, we're making a long-term investment in our community. And that story, I think, is man, I think that it was pretty impactful to hear that. So I was glad to hear that. And sometimes we get so focused on, well, how are we going to move the needle with this one thing? Or how are we going to get the word out with one podcast? And what that story and what JA had done for that one individual definitely has taught me that it's a long-term investment in the community.
Well, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I'm working in the construction world and good, bad, and different. We can't outsource swinging a hammer. And it's incumbent upon us as employers and a couple dads just trying to figure it out that we want to make individuals aware of what opportunities are there. They eventually got to grab it and go with it. As Lisa said, teach them how to fish. And I think we got a little glimpse of that today with Lisa. So awesome episode. Looking forward to the next one with you, buddy. Have a good day, Blaylock.
See you, Rebro.